إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه وبعد. My dear brothers and sisters, we have been talking about the importance of approaching the Quran correctly. And yesterday I mentioned to you the ayat of Surah Al-Anfal, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us a means of monitoring ourselves. When we approach the Quran, Allah gave us a means of monitoring ourselves to see what is happening to ourselves as we read the Quran and listen to the Quran. So we talked about in Surah Al-Anfal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the effect on the heart, the effect that should be there on the heart because of the Quran. Today I want to share with you another ayat from Surah Az-Zumar, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also mentioned something else. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, A'udhu billahi minash shaitan ar-rajim. Allahu nazzala ahsana al-hadithi kitaban mutashabiha mathaniya taqsha'irru minhu juludu alladhina yakhshawna rabbahum thumma talinu juluduhum wa qulubuhum ila dhikrillah dhalika hudallahi yahdi bihi man yasha وَمَنْ يُضْلِلِ اللَّهُ فَمَا لَهُ مِنْ هَادٍ. In this ayat-i kareema of Surah Az-Zumar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned and he said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed the most beautiful message in the form of a book consistent with itself, yet repeating its teaching in various aspects. And then Allah mentioned two changes. He said, the skins of those who have the khashyat of Allah. And yesterday I mentioned to you the connection between khashyat and taqwa. Allah said, the skins of those who have khashyat of their Rabb tremble with that, meaning with the recitation and listening to the Quran. So there's actually a measurable change in the skin. As you say, you know, your hackles rise, the skin sort of trembles. And then Allah said, and then their skins and their hearts soften to the glorification of Allah's praise. So there is a external change which is measurable, and there is an internal change which is also measurable. The skin trembles with there is a physical change when you listen to the kalam of Allah, and there is an internal change in the heart. The heart softens. The sign of the softening of the heart is the tears in the eyes. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he quoted from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said that the sign of the hardness of the heart is the dryness of the eyes. Tears in the eyes for the glory and magnificence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are a sign of the softness of the heart. Then this means the heart is healthy. It hasn't become hard. The two, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there are two kinds of tears that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these tears, if somebody sheds them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect their eyes from the fire of Jahannam, meaning that these people will be given Jannah. And he said these two are, one are the eyes that shed tears for the glory and majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the dead of the night, by yourself, nobody is seeing. Only you are reciting Quran, reading Salah, and crying for the glory and majesty of Allah. And he said, the second are the eyes which stay awake. Two kinds of eyes. One which shed the tears for the glory and magnificence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the second one is eyes which stay awake for the protection of the Muslims. So in whichever way this protection might be, eyes which stay awake for the protection of the Muslims. And that's why we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to soften our hearts and give us eyes which will shed tears for His glory and majesty. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, ذَلِكَ هُدَى اللَّهِ. Such is the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He guides therewith whoever He pleases, and we ask Allah for His guidance. But such as those that Allah leaves to stray, they can have nobody to guide them. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us and to say who are monitoring yourself. As I read the Quran or as I listen to the Quran, this is extremely important. So every time as we sit and read, this must constantly be in the mind and saying what is happening to me as I am reading. Don't just read for complete the portion each day, whatever you read. We must read, we must try and read at least one juz a day. This should become the normal juz of Quran. One sipara must be read every day. So that you finish the Quran in 30 days inshallah. And then in Ramadan, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us tawfiq, we do more. At least one juz of Quran a day you must read and you should go to sleep without that. Best time to do that is to wake up for tahajjud. Pray tahajjud, read one juz of Quran, and then go for Salatul Fajr. So this is a very good routine to follow, because then by that, in that way, your morning begins with the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And all of this together is at least 1 hour. So, and then Salatul Fajr. So including Salatul Fajr, you have every day 1 or 1.5 hours of ibadah with which you are beginning the day. So imagine what a beautiful day that will be. Obviously, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's guidance will be with you, and protection will be with you, and help will be with you. And that's why that's a good routine to to follow, inshallah. Approaching the Quran in the correct way, which is to respond to the Quran. Very important for us to remember and realize that the Quran is not a bunch of mantras to be, repeated over and over again for some sawab. The Quran is the living kalam, one who lives and who does not die. Hayyu alladhi la yamut, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Quran is the kalam of Allah. It is a living document. the Quran is khitab to us personally. It is addressed to us personally. And therefore, it demands a response. The second thing, as I mentioned here, the way of the response, which is physical changes actually in the body, changes in the heart. Now, this is the big problem today, is that we have become so disconnected with our hearts, especially internally, that change in the heart, we can't feel it. You know, we don't know what's happening, because we are so completely immersed in the entire externalism and commercialism in terms of our lives, that spiritual development has become alien to us. We advise each other and we focus on how much exercise you must do and what you must eat and what you must not eat, all of which is important, all of which is, I'm not saying that you should not do that, of course you must do that. All of this is for the body. Now what about the soul? The soul also needs food. The ruh also needs food. The ruh also needs exercise. It needs to be strengthened. So who's going to do that? What is the food of the soul? The food of the soul is the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So how much food is our soul getting? Seriously, may Allah protect us. Sometimes I think if we feed the body as much as we feed the soul, you would die. You wouldn't become slim. You would actually starve to death. Because how much you feed the soul, if you feed the body, so we overfeed the body, which is going to perish, and we underfeed the soul, which is going to stay. So imagine, it's the great mercy of Allah. I mentioned this also before, but I feel that it's the great mercy of Allah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kept the soul invisible. If Allah had made our souls visible, I don't know what, my soul would have looked like. So alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kept it invisible. But that doesn't mean that we should ignore it. The soul, we must concentrate on it. Like we give time on a daily basis to our bodies, so also, even more so, we must give time to our souls and say, what is my spiritual development? What is happening to my spirit? Is my spirit, developing? Is it sick, or what's happening to it? For most of us, our spirits are extremely sick. And the sickness comes from indulging in haram, from eating haram, from speaking haram. Ghibat and lies and slander and wrong kind of income. And then even if the income is right, then we eat all kinds of doubtful stuff which we should not be eating. We look at all kinds of stuff. I don't think there is even any doubt in terms of what we look at. You know, we know it is haram, but we still see it. We listen to all kinds of stuff which we should not. All of these things impact on the heart. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the eyes are like arrows that come into the heart. What you see enters the heart. Imam Shafi Rahmatullahi had a prodigious memory, and there are so many stories about his phenomenal memory. When Salahuddin Al-Ayyubi built a masjid next to the grave of Imam Shafi, on top of the dome of the masjid, right on top of the dome, he ordered a small. So if you see his Imam Shafi's masjid, you see that on big, beautiful, very beautiful dome. On top of that, there is a boat. So they asked him, they asked Salahuddin Ayyubi, why did you put the boat? He said, because under this boat is a sea of knowledge. It was Isharatan. He said, under this boat is a sea of knowledge. Now this Imam Shafi, rahmatullahi, and his amazing memory he had, I won't go into the different stories, they are very interesting stories, but one day he came to his ustad, and who was the ustad of Imam Shafi? Imam Malik. So he came to the ustad one day and he said, I have forgotten the Quran. He said, the Quran has left me. So Imam Malik rahmatullahi said, what do you mean you left the Quran? Because Imam Shafi was a hafiz from, you know, from the time he was maybe 5 years old. And he memorized many books. I mean, the Quran was obviously the first one, and it was solidly imprinted in his heart. So Imam Malik said, what do you mean the Quran has left you? He said, yes, it has left me. I cannot remember, when I want to recite, I can't remember the surahs. So Imam, I'm talking about the power of the eyes. So Imam Malik rahmatullahi said to him, go and reflect. You have looked at something which you should not have seen. That is the only explanation. If the Quran left you, that you have seen something that you should not have seen. My Shaykh used to say, jin ke rudbe hai siwa, unko siwa mushkil hai. Allah ka karam hai, ki Allah ta'ala ne humare jaise logon ko, wo mayar Allah ne nahi istamal kiya. Agar Allah wo istamal karte, to kalma bhi nahi nikalta, zaman se. Seriously, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used the same standards to measure somebody like me, I would not even be able to recite the kalima, forget about the Quran. May Allah protect us from this. So Imam Malik said to him, you saw something, you looked at something which you should not have seen. Go and reflect and make tawbah. So Imam Shafi went and he reflected and he tried to recall. And he said that I was in the bazaar, in the market in Medina, and a woman got out of a vehicle. And as she got out, she extended her leg, her calf became visible. And I looked at it. He wasn't there to look at the calf of some woman. This woman got out in front of him, and as she put her foot down, the calf got visible, and he said, my glance fell on it. He said, I made tawbah, I made ghusl, I prayed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and alhamdulillah, the Quran came back. Imagine the power of the eyes. Wallahi, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala applied those standards to us, what will happen to us for what we see? We know it is wrong, but we still look at it. What will happen to us? I tell you seriously, when we die, I don't even know whether we will get the kalima. Forget about the rest of it. So seriously, we have to be very conscious of and take care about what we look at and what we listen to. My Shaykh used to tell me, when I was trying to memorize something, he used to say, be very careful. I asked him, I said, what is the secret of memorization? He said, it is what you see. I said, how can I memorize? He said, you can memorize if you make sure you don't look at haram. If you look at haram, Allah will not permit the Quran to come into your heart. The Quran is not just some kitab you are memorizing. It is the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah gives it to you. Don't think that you memorize the Quran. Allah gives it to you. Sometimes you will remember surahs which you did not even memorize, because this comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that does not come into a heart which is full of garbage. And what you hear and what you see, these two are absolutely critical. Absolutely critical. So let us ensure that we listen to only what we should listen to, and that we look at only what we are permitted to look at. And alhamdulillah, both of these still give us the scope to enjoy life very beautifully. You know, Allah does not prevent you from looking at His creation and seeing all the beauty that He has made and so on and so forth, really good things. There is no need to look at haram in order to enjoy life. There is no need to look at or listen to haram in order to enjoy life. But we have made our lives like this, where we define our enjoyment or entertainment is defined by haram. Unless it is haram, we can't enjoy it. There has to be some stuff in it. That's why we have to change our lives. Very important. So the approach to the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not simply it's not only to sort of grab a book and read it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the means of monitoring what we do. So let us use those standards and monitor our reading And then we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to fill our lives with the power of His kalam, for which the kalam came. The kalam came to benefit us, but the kalam cannot benefit us unless we approach it in the correct way. And that is why we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to approach the kalam in the correct way and to benefit from it. وَصَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ نَبِيِّ الْكَرِيمُ وَعَلَىٰ آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ بِرَحْمَتِكَ يَا رَحْمَ